In the Kehillas Pras, I want to correct something. That Ram Chaim Noah says the shear is 4 minutes. Ramosh actually says that he wants to go with the shear of the Amar Cheshes, which is 3 minutes. So he'll jib a on the shear of 3 minutes. So 3 minutes starts when the person starts to swallow. That's when your 3 minutes starts. That's when your clock starts ticking.
3 minutes starts from swallowing?
The first swallow.
Ramosh says three?
Three, yeah. I said Ramosh said four. Yes, I just want to correct that. Morer. So we have a mitzvah to rabbanon to eat morer. The person should mechavim the same mitzvah. So the mechavim the mitzvah of eating morer. The person mechavim the same mitzvah of eating matzah. The person should mechavim the same mitzvah of eating morer. I think I pointed out other times that the law of mitzvah shechas kavana. The law of mitzvah shechas kavana. It's mechavim to think two words. The same mitzvah. You don't have to think. You know, from Zuma the kindness to say. Right, you know, with the chilu, right, shem yichukish brichu, with the chilu, rechimu, the karva, the yud, and the hay, together with the vav, you know, that's all Kabbalistic. But the concept of mitzvah yichas kavana requires, the Rosh Hashanah says in Siman Samach, two things, the shem mitzvah. So you have to think. If you think exactly what the mitzvah is, maybe it's a milah, but you're doing it because there's a command in the Torah to do it. That's what mitzvah yichas kavana means. So you're doing that. Shame in mind, you're eating the more because of that. The Shulchan Aruch says that you should be tovel the whole more in the chorosis. It's the loss of the Shulchan Aruch. Mishnah Berurah brings that there's some makomos they don't do that. They only tovel miksasei, which is that that's what we do. However, the law is that you're not supposed to keep the chorosis on the mortar because it shouldn't be involved till the time of the mortar, and you should not even leave it soaking in the chorosis. Chorosis, Mishnah Berurah points out, it should be liquidy. So you should add. He says right before you use the chorosis, you should add some wine to the chorosis. So therefore, it'll be a liquidy. You know, it'll have a pasty, liquidy consistency. So you're dipping into it. You're getting. You're really dipping into something. Friday night, he says you have a problem with lisha. You have a lisha issue of the malach of losh, combining the liquid and the salad together. So over there, you should make sure you do it beforehand. But over here, you have to just do it right beforehand. And how much more do you need to eat? So more is bisman is that more is the rabbanon. Mashiach should come. We'll bring the Korban Pesach with the Korban Pesach. So we'll eat the more as well. That more will be the rice. Al matzah some roim yechlu. The mitzvah of the rice is eat the Korban Pesach with more. We don't have a Korban Pesach anymore. So the mitzvah of the more is only the rabbanon.
What does it mean that more is the rabbanon?
So zarum masakim we eat more. There's no mitzvah of the rice to eat more anymore.
So in that case, if someone really doesn't like to eat more,
so he goes to the section of Gehenna for people who don't listen to Chachamim. He doesn't go to the section of Gehenna.
Even a person that can't eat,
so the person's an oinus. He's an oinus. You know, applies to rices as well. There's no difference between the rices and the rabbanim in regards to that.
But does it make it like sometimes if things are derabbanim, then there's more room to be maker?
Shmuel. Right. Okay. So, but what the Nafkamina of the Mishnah Berurah says in regards to the size of the shear of the kazayas, when Mitzvah Rabbanan, we calculate the kazayas as being smaller, like we said. So the shear of the Rama that it's only a shlish of the beya, and we're not mechir the chayshes that maybe the eggs got larger. So the shear of the kazayas of Mora does not have to be very large.
Their daughter in his safer does the calculation.
So according to his calculation, this is a kazayas amor. This is the actual size.
So how do we exactly dip that entire thing in the chorosis?
You fold it up.
What?
You fold it.
you fold it and then just dip it.
Yeah.
It has to be fully immersed, like.
No, with Mishabura Pazin, we hold it. Mixos is good enough. He says,
shake it up. That it's partial, that it'll be partial.
Oh, so I just dip a part into it.
He says, the medium size, this is 3/5 of a kazai. So this is 3/5 of a kazai. Where's the large one?
Shake it off anyway.
That's a kazayas. That's a kazayas in more. Not very big.
I mean,
it's one leaf. One thick leaf.
And that's the shear we get for the Darabanan?
No, this is the shear. This is the Darabanan. This is shear. This is 3/5 of a kazayas. So
can you take with like the horseradish?
Yeah, you can do horseradish also. He says, if you do stalks, this stalk is 1/2 of a kazayas. You do two of these, you have a kazayas. I mean, it's very big, it's very small. Okay. You have to eat a kadechilis pras, which Rav Moshe Schoenbruch says, since you're dealing with a mitzvah rabbanon, she can be semach on a longer shear. She says you can be semach on the shear 5 minutes. But the Mr. Bruce says, a person should eat the basach as quickly as possible. Okay? What is the preferred item to use for mortar? So the preferred item to use for mortar is romaine lettuce. The next preferred, if that's not available or you have difficulty checking it, there is romaine lettuce available. Different companies have better chazakas on how infested their romaine lettuce is. So the halacha is by infestations that in a raisa. By most fruits and vegetables, minaraisa, you can be stomach on roi that there's not a bug there. Chazal said, even though if the roi says there's not a bug there, if it's a mira motsui, if it happens enough, it's a mira, but it's a mira motsui, so then you're equipped to bite for it as well. And if it's a roi, if most of the times it has infestation of minaraisa, you're equipped to bite before you eat it. So what's mira motzi is 10%. So if I check this item 10% of the time, I find the bug, I now have a key to be bided before I use it. If I check this item, I see that I'm checking the items many, many times, and I very rarely find the bug. Once in 100 I find the bug, once in 20 I find the bug, and I'm a key to be bided for bugs. Now I say I check it, right? What's it? Right? So I check a room worth of lettuce, I'm going to find a bug every time. Right? So what's it? What's that shear that I'm checking that I'm saying, well, that's going to define whether I'm going to be bitek or not. So that's a big, big argument. Well, how big? Right? So now the shear 1/10 is the shear of the Mishkanet Yaakov, Mishkanet Yaakov, the Talmud of the Chaim V'Lajana. He says the shear is 1/10. Not everybody agrees with that shear, but that seems to be the accepted shear that the place can go with.
1/10 of whatever load one's doing.
Well, so now, how much? What are we checking? What's the shear that we call that we check? We decided based on. So the Rabbi Yashiv and others say that the shear would be what a person would eat in the meal. So if what I'm eating normally does not produce a bug, so I'm allowed to rely on that chazaka that it's not going to produce a bug. Right? If once in a while, if sometimes it does produce a bug, so I can't eat what I'm normally going to eat without checking to see that there's a bug there. So it would be the shear would be what a person would normally eat during the meal. Now, if that's a logical shear. I just want to point out, however, there's a problem. So there's something called Bodek, Bodek and Positive and all the different, companies which promise you bug-free programs. Now, it's not bug-free. They're not promising, but what they're promising you that it's produce which halacha says you're not with 50 Bodek. Okay, so what do they do? So how do they do it? So they don't grow it in water because that creates tremendous halachic issues. What a bracha is, what the yetzer for the mitzvah, they don't grow it in water. grow it in a greenhouse, the way Ali Katif, that they would do it grown in the way that there's no entrance into any bugs inside. There's a big sign, no bugs allowed, no bugs go inside. It's a tremendous process. They don't do that either. Tremendous expensive process. What they do is they came with, they did a lot of research, they came with the following, right? What if I want to know whether bugs are a vegetable or produce is infested with bugs or not. So I'm not stupid. I understand that bugs, it comes and goes. Depends on how rainy it is, how much shade that these places are getting, how much sun they're getting, how much wind they're getting, how high they are, how low they are. There are many different things which make a difference. And when we're growing something high up on a mountain, right, which is open to a lot of wind, there's much less bugs there because the wind's blowing away all the bugs. And sitting down in a valley in a nice shady spot with a lot of moisture, and the bugs are just going to have a good time over there, right? So if you go to any time you buy produce at a store, you ever hear there's an outbreak of, you know, of this type of a virus, and they trace it back to these three stores. How do they do that? So every in the United States of America, every time something is harvested, which is going to go to be sold commercially, every time there is a coding which tells you where which field it came from. Not only that, it tells you where in the field it came from. They might say that this field, because of a different topography of the field, some of the field is very open to the sun. Areas which are sunnier have less bugs than areas which are shadier. They will actually code the vegetables differently. The vegetables which are taken from the north end of the field, which is a sunny area, will be coded with one number. The ones from the south end of the field will be coded with a different number. And they check infestation labels regularly. I 1 year I was able to get it. So the state which is the largest producer of blueberries in the country is
Maryland,
New Jersey. Okay, so New Jersey is very interested in helping their farmers, you know, be successful. So they have they have this big agricultural research area which keeps track of the infestation levels of blueberries weekly. You got an email every week which bugs are problematic, what types of pesticides to use to address them, how much you expect to find them, etc. And this is weekly, and it changes from week to week. I remember 1 year I got on the email list just to see what it looks like. And you saw from week to week the infestation levels change at different types of bugs. So these companies, what they do is they go and find areas, fields, based on topography, etc., which have shown to, on a regular basis, have less bugs in their produce. And they check them weekly. They bring in X amount from a mountainous area in Brazil, very few bugs. They bring it in, they check it. Yeah, this week there's no bugs. They check it next week, there's bugs that they won't use that batch. And therefore, they're telling you what you're getting are batches which they've tested. Now, how do they test it? They spot check. They don't test every single one. They take random samples from each one which comes in and they say, look, are we seeing infestation levels going up or not? And they do whatever halacha defines. Usually defines you take three random samples, right, of each, from each coded area. Right? So it comes in a big crate, coded area, north field of latitude and longitude, da, 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 right? Field, north section of the field, right? They take random heads and they check it of lettuce, and there's very little infestation. Okay, this is really lettuce, which you want to check. That's what they're telling you. And the truth is, that's true. There's certain companies over here, I don't want to, you know, the other areas over here, there's a company over here which, time and time again, we've checked it and there's been very, very little infestation. Probably they use more pesticide. So, you know, I wouldn't tell you necessarily to use it the whole year. You know, you might get a high levels of pesticide, but for the bits of peso, you should use it. It's called Andy Boy. Andy Boy Romaine has much less bugs than other companies.
It doesn't need to be checked at all.
We check it. My wife checks it. She's got the point already. Some years she'll spot check. And, you know, in some years she checks everyone. She can check everyone. She's a very good checker. And find like two bugs out of the whole thing.
So we say we don't need to check Andy Boy.
So I'm saying I can't change this, but you have to recreate the chazaka because circumstances change. But in general, there's a chazaka, probably not.
Does that mean if I buy a 3-pack and I check one, I don't need to check the other two?
Again, it's assuming that they're from the same pack, right?
Right.
Usually they put it together. If you find three. Most of the times you find three bugs already, that's now it's mukhsik, there's 1, 2, 3, that's like chazaka. You found three bugs in your, whatever we call the unit you're supposed to, now we assume there's bugs there. So you would be mivar otherwise. So if you don't feel that you can check your remain properly, so then you can use crane. Endice is the next one down. Then you can use crane. Fine. Crane, yeah, horseradish. Yeah. Okay, now you make the bracha of alachilas mor, you have in mind for the karech as well. Just like we made the bracha of alachilas matzah, we had in mind for the karech and the afikamen as well. So now we come to karech. So over here, the shear of kazayis of matzah, the shear of kazayis of mor is very small. I think in his chart, he has the. Again, because we pointed out that it's a mitzvah d'rabbanan, so you use the size of that kazayis is kashlish beya, not kachatzi beya, and we assume that the beyim did not get larger. Or assuming the beyim were not larger once upon a time, they did not get smaller. So we're using the eggs as is. We're taking the shlish of the egg. Mishabrol, you calculate again a shlish of the egg based on an egg with a klipa. Chazish holds you calculate based on an egg without a klipa. It's even smaller. And that's your shear of kazayas that you need. So you need a very small amount of matzah for the kazayas for mortar. I think in the picture over here, so according to his calculation, right, for argument's sake, the achilas matzah for thin matzah, he suggests you need 53%. For karach, you need 31%. For thick matzah, you need 20% of a matzah for your kazayis for karach. So that's pretty nice. You can get 5 kazayis out of one matzah. So that's already more like, you know, what the person talking about, giving everybody kazayis from the matzah. So that makes more sense. You know?
So are we saying both use horseradish and crane?
You can combine it, so yeah. You can use horseradish and romaine. You can use both of them together.
What, the horseradish adds beet juice. It's called cream. That's not the problem. The red.
No, you can't use. You can't use a beet juice. It has to be just horseradish.
You can't use the red one.
You can't use the white one either. It has vinegar in it.
Rebbe's
the store one has vinegar in it.
When Rebbe's saying cream, Rebbe means
horseradish,
not the jarred stuff.
Yeah, I mean cream.
Like not shredded.
No, shredded, but not. You buy a root and you shred it.
Uh-huh. And whatever you put on your gefilte fish, the red thing.
That doesn't count.
The Beer Lot asked a question that the paragraph of Zechel Mikdash Kehillel, it seems to be that he considers it a hefsek. You made a bracha, you're eating karech. So what if it makes Zechel Mikdash Kehillel for? So you say it, he says, after you eat. My vinegar is not like the Mishabura. The Levush and Shulchan Rav say that the minig is to say it, and therefore I assume that is the minig. Okay, Shulchan Oreich. Okay, so a person should not overeat, leave room for the afikamen. Make sure you not eat the afikamen in a way which is a chilagasa. If you're not going to a hotel and your mother's making Pesach and she makes this beautiful Yom Tosuda, you don't eat it. So Afikamen is Rabbanan, Kibbutz Aveim is the Raisa. So just be aware of that. Okay.
Are you not allowed to eat Afikamen if you're a full?
You're not allowed to eat Afikamen. It depends how full. The person is full to the point that Pasha he finds it me is. It's not called a chila. So you're not be Yotze anyway.
People are pretty good at a chila nowadays. practice once a week.
Yeah, I'm sorry, I'm not so good at it. So. Okay. we don't eat tzli by the Seder. It's referring to meat. So Mr. Burr says that you know, there is a minute to eat eggs. So he says you should use the egg from the Korah. And then if you didn't have to make another egg the next night, you would again have to eat it, because if you cook something on Yom Tov, you must eat it on Yom Tov. You can't leave it to the weekdays. It's definitely considered a bizui mitzvah to throw it out afterwards, the Zoraya and the Beah. You should use it. You can't, the Zoraya you cannot eat by the Seder, and you can use it the second night. It's been sitting out for quite some time, but you can mix it into some other food and cook it, you know, whatever it is afterwards. Eat it to something else. There is a minig, even if a person eats kebrox, not to eat kebrox by the Seder. By the Litvisha, they don't eat kneidlach by the Seder. So why is that? Because the Rambam says that every kezayis and matzah eat by the Seder b'kayim mitzvah. You eat a kezayis, you're yotz. Every kezayis that you eat is a mitzvah. So, but matzah which has been cooked or soaked, you're not yotz limited with it. So eating kneidlach is by basically saying, listen, here I went and ate matzah, but dafka made it not right for the mitzvah. So you should not put it into your soup, you're not should do anything like that. So there's such a minig. If you don't have the minig, you don't have the minig, but there's such a minig. It's as soon as Yom Tov. So you're supposed to drink wine by the Suda, that means a revius of wine. There's a machlokes whether you yotze with grape juice. Shem Zalman said you yotze the din of shtiyas yayin with grape juice per Yom Tov. That really applies to every Yom Tov, you should have a revius of wine. Slash grape juice. It refers to cholamoid as well, but the person should have
one. So once a day? Two sudas?
No, once.
How quickly do you have to drink it?
I'm not aware that there's a shear on the shtiyah of that.
Shtiyah, there's no. You can drink it over a long meal?
I mean, I'm talking about drinking 3 ounces. It sounds like a little bit, you know, exam spread out over a whole meal. Okay, Revius is, you know, I'm not, Revius is 2.9 ounces, you know. And
the big connoisseurs kind of want to have it slowly, so you can go over a long period of time.
If they need to, yeah.
Is that for Pesach or any Yom Tov?
Any Yom Tov. Eating Basar during the meal. This is Bechal. We're talking about this already. So it's Bechalik is in Halacha, whether there's Dinam Basar. Bizman is that. Is the Basar, which the more talks about, there's a Dinam simple Yom Tov, the more says it means Shlomim. Means meat. Does it apply Bizman is that? That there's Bidoma Karbonis or not? So Rambam says it does. Shulchan Aruch says that it doesn't. He says it's only Bizman Mikdash that was did of eating Basar. Now he's not done eating Basar. Magen Rambam is Choshesh for the Rambam. So really, you know, one of the questions that always come up is having a milk of Gesudas over Yom Tov. So really, I don't think it's correct. A person should have the Gesudas Yom Tov should be fleishig. He says the problem should be Basar Behema, and if a person can't have Basar Behema, should have Basar Oif. People say it's heavy meals. I can't handle it. That's because you overeat. Don't blame the meal. The person washes. He eats a kezayis matzah. Right. He has 6 ounces of soup, and he has a kezayis of meat. Too much kezayis of meat. Right. And he has a little piece of cocoa, and he has some vegetables. He's not going to be having such heavy meals. That's what you stuffed yourself. So Bill, it's heavy meals. Don't blame the meals. You know. So now you ask it to steer it to the kibbutz of Engstickle. Okay, that you have to figure out.
Is yain or is there an integrated but best of yain? Which one is more of a simple example?
Well, yain we pass, and everybody agrees is a key of yain.
Bizman is it?
The Basar is a machloik, but Yain everybody agrees to. Okay, so Safun. So the Bechaber says you eat before Chatzos. If you do not eat before Chatzos, you eat it after Chatzos. If you do not eat your Kazai Samatza, Mitzvah Samatza before Chatzos, you lose your bracha. the person, like, you know, they, you know, some of these people, like, you know, they have a real long Seder, and they get to first, they get to the first Kazayas, the Matzah, Dredi Chatzos, you don't make a bracha anymore. After Carmen, you would eat it, but it's not an issue of bracha anyway. The Chachila, we eat two Kazayasim, one Zechel Pesach, one Zechel to the Matzah eaten with the Carmen Pesach. A person who's weak, one kazayis is enough, and that's why you have in the picture where you have Avikam and the Chachila. That's what this point of the Chachila, because it's Bidi Avid, you can be Samech on a much smaller shear. Okay. Now, according to Rashi and the Rambam, the Iker Mitzvah, Rashi, the Rashbam, the Iker Mitzvah of Mitzvah Chachila's Matzah is Avikam, which is why you, according to them, for sure, you have to be makon eating before chatzos. And according to them, you have to have a mind even if you come to the kind of mitzvah chilas matzah, because there's one mikdash. That's when they ate the matzah. They ate the matzah go with the korban pesach, which is nechal ala soifa. So the mitzvah chilas matzah they eat mekayim at the end of the meal. So you definitely want to make sure you eat before chatzos, according to them, because again, if you eat the chatzos, you're besafik. You get your mitzvah bechlal. The ma'isa, the Iker Psak is that Sitter Rabbanan, and therefore, that in regards to the shear, you see the shear he has every carbon is much smaller than the shear he has for Tinas Matzah, because we're saying it's Sitter Rabbanan. On the other hand, we're machmer to have two kazesim. So why is the two kazesim the same thing as this? Because after this is two kazesim of a third of each one being a third of a beya, this is two kazesim of each one being a half of a beya. Right? We're saying they split in this cow. They scout and assure him, and that what you want, kazai is not a half a kabeya for the rice, we say kazai is a kabeya. The size of an egg nowadays is the size of a kazai. But by the comments of Rabbanan, we say the share of a kazai is a third. We have to kill two kazaisim, so it'll be two thirds of a kabeya, not a whole kabeya.
So why is the korich not half of the afkomi?
Why is the current heaven the covenant? I don't know. He has a cheshbon. I don't remember what his cheshbon is. I would think that it should be that. If I recall correctly, I think I had an issue with that.
So it should be 19% according
to Mama. It should be very small, yeah. Okay. So, but in regards to the time of the Kachilas Pras, you get back to, if you've been cheshbon for Rashi and the Rashbam, you want to try to eat it in as quick a time span as possible. Okay, Borech. So the Mishabura says that the Kais needs that you do Shtifa and Hadacha, you wash it inside and out before you bring the Kais. Some of the Kais which was used during the meal, really, make sure that Kais was not used during the meal, it would not be, you would not need. However, a lot of times, if you don't use the mill, you know, it gets sticky. So then, for sure, you need it. It has to be a clean toast. Okay. When you bench, and then you make the bracha of Brei Pei Gofen, and you drink the toast, there should be no hefsek between the benching and the drinking, because you should not talk during that time. Other people, the balabais is benching more slowly, and then people finish early, so they schmooze till the balabais gets there. That's incorrect. There should not be a hefsek in the mitzvah and the kais, which is mitzvah was done upon. B'chal, the truth is, even if you're not drinking, by benching stam, the luck is that once the mevorech picks up the kais to bench, until he makes a bracha, nobody should speak other than benching. So you finish benching earlier, and you're never, you know, the person who's leading the benching is, you know, one of these people, like, you know, doesn't know how to read Hebrew, and he reads it slowly, like, you know, type of person. So, you know, I'll talk. Make sure that. I'm not sure why people. You know, that's the emes yichal kais. You know, I'll talk while the kais is in usage, which means from the time you start benching until you make the bracha, it pays off. I tell people that, you know, I have a, you know, I'm a tshuva. That's why I read slowly. Both the same as are true. Okay, the Rambam says that you should say halal before chatzos. Mechaber does not require that. So, like, forget about that one, right?
You should finish it also, or just at the start?
According to, no, you have to finish. According to the Ramah, you have to finish challah before chatzis. Okay. Same way during the Haggadah, you don't do a seva, so you don't do a seva during the challah as well. It's a mitzvah on the balabayas to bench. Even normally he gives it to other people. It's a mitzvah on the balabayas to bench. And the balabayas, when he gets to in the halal, if there's two people there, including women and children, so a man, his wife, and a child of age, so he would say the halal responsibly by Haidu and by Ono. By Rosh Chodesh, Mishabrata talks about by Rosh Chodesh, a person saying halal b'yichidus, he should still try and be mahara to get a mezumin for Haidu. You need two people, you say Haidu to two people, and they respond. There's no union by Rosh Chodesh in that situation. There's no union of having two people by Ono. It's only by Haidu. Haidu, Yarmar, right? Same, you know, those four psukim. But by Leil Seder, the union of saying it responsibly, both by Haidu and by Ono, like you do in and for that purpose, so women and children count, even a katan, as long as he's, you know, of age, that he could, you know, you understand what's going on.
Is it dafka the balabai, so it could be is the person who's leading the seder is, let's say, the zeder or something?
That's also fine. It's an interesting question. So the person grappled with the following question: a person is, so there's a zeder is there, and he's leading the seder, and all, you know, he has all of his sons there, and, you know, but their grandsons, etc. So those sons are not being mekayem mitzvah begat the bincha because their father's talking. Right, they're just listening. So what should they do? So this is machlokes, whether you can argue that shemei ka'ina, that they're listening to the father telling the story, is if they're telling the story and therefore the yotzei mitzvah or not. One argument. Shmuel Zalman says that the yotzei mitzvah, because the mitzvah is not to tell the story, but the mitzvah is to make sure they hear the story.
Could you be a shliach?
So you can. And Rabbi Asham held that it's a problem, and really a person at some point during the process should make sure that he's, you know, takes the opportunity to speak to his children and tells them part of the story at least. So he's been kind of telling them the story. Nirtza. Okay, so that a person is, so a few things over here. The person is chayiv, the tour, and that based on the Tosefta, and then the Shulchan Aruch found the tour, says a person is chayiv lasik, bilchus apesach, we see it's Mitzrayim. The Sapra Nisim and the flows comes from the to our forefathers, Ashat Chatfen Oshinu. So the famous Biskarov says, you know, one of these, again, he's one of the Ferketim and Hagim. He says, Shuas, it's not mentioned in Chazal of Chalal, everybody stays up. Shenra, which is mentioned in Zoyer, some people stay up. Leil Pesach, which is Ferish Tosefta, and it's brought down to Shulchan Aruch, and Allah, nobody stays up. One of those Fekertim and Hagim, like people do, like backwards.
Do the mitzvah to stay up or to fall asleep early?
The mitzvah is to stay, keep going until the Ben Hashina. But nobody, you know, people, they finish the thing, they go to bed.
Does that mean even after you bench, you should just continue? Because you have to do things
like that. No, you bench, you finish the Seder, you know. You say halal, you do nirtzah with all the songs, shira shirim. They sit down and say, you know, I had to give all the thought about the mitzvah mitzrayim. I was doing some shira with you. And you talk for the next 3 hours, or 2 hours, or, you know, until. Now, what does chatven oshina mean? So, your commander says that if a person knows that he's going to be, his davening the next day will be horrible. So that's called chatven oshina. It means his body needs sleep. So that's what it means. It doesn't mean the push to the point to where you overwhelmed with sleep and it's impossible to stay up anymore. It means until you got to the point that sleep chaps you. And so it means that there's a need for sleep. Bechidish, the ma'isa. I think that's what the minhag of the Masamachan. I think so. Yeah. I think so. So now, you can't eat after the Karman, and except for the crisis. And after the crisis, you can't do anything. So, is that bechlalos? Water is mutter. Water is clearly mutter. You have a lot of water afterwards. Any alcoholic beverage is vada, Yosef Shapiro says. Chazal said you can't have it after Kerman. You need to leave the time of the after Kerman in your mouth. So
coffee and tea.
So Mr. Mishabura says that tea without sugar or coffee without sugar is what to be said mechan if you need to. So I don't know for sure, but there's a bear hate, Dave. Maybe this bear hate will answer your question. Right. That in Siman Tapei Aleph, the bear hate, Dave says that you can't smoke after the. Even people which are mechel to smoke on yotze, they can't smoke after the seder because it takes away the time of the matzah.
Smoking
on yotze
is mechel.
Smoking
on yotze
is mechel.
Cooking on yotze is mechel, or it's
okay. So this deserves a full. Are you allowed to cook on yotze for the purpose of a goy? It's cooking yotze. Person cooking yotze for a goy, he's chaimah. So it's not cooking yotze mitzvah. There are limitations. So one of the limitations is something called shavu l'chol nefesh. Right? So I happen to be that I like incense, the smell of incense. And Morris has experienced the smell of incense. Is also I can't put incense on the coals and cook and make it smell. Because only a few people need that. It's not shavu l'chol nefesh. Shavu l'chol nefesh is not shavu l'chol nefesh. It comes an issur d'oraisa to do it on yom. So smoking called shavu l'chol nefesh. So if it's not shavu'chol nefesh, it isn't the rice. So it's cooking. It's like cooking for a dog or for a goy or for it's not shavu'chol nefesh. It's the rice to cook it. So you're allowed to smoke on yom. So most poskim said that since that the doctors have determined it's not really healthy for a person, so it's not shavu'chol nefesh. Most people really don't want to do it. Right? There's a meat which does it. It's not called shavu'chol nefesh. It's pasha. It's the rice to do it on yom. There's a Pnei Yeshua. There's a wild Pnei Yeshua. It's Pnei Yeshua in Masechta Shabbos. The Sugya Pnei Shabbos is the Sugya in Tzubas, actually, the first parak. There's a Pnei Yeshua in Shabbos. I'm going to say Lama Tess. I think it's Lama Tess. Summer thing. Lama Tess, Lama Tess. Pnei Yeshua says that he's Machadosh to follow him. Hear me out, okay? Right. He's Machadosh the following. He says that Shavu l'chol nefesh doesn't necessarily mean most people do it. It means it's tzarech, which most people have. Since everybody knows that smoking is good for your health, and everybody needs health, so even though only me and people smoke, it's called Shavu l'chol nefesh, because smoking is good for your health. Now, why is smoking good for your health? It says because you do it before sin that a person, after they have a meal, if they take one cigarette, it helps their digestion, which actually is true. If two cigarettes, it impairs your digestion. If you have one, it actually helps your digestion. Everybody needs help with the digestion, right? So it's going to kill you every other which way, but it's good for your digestion. Now, so Zebra Tziner has a Chuvan, Bear Mercy. He says that, like, what's that? It's a weird thing, Yeshua. He says, stop a second. Move back to the 1600s. The early 700s, where the Pnei Yeshua lived. Pnei Yeshua lived in the early 1700s. Right? How much air pollution was there? There was no Industrial Revolution yet. How much air pollution was there? None. There was the soot from people burning wood in the air. That's about it, you know? Right? There's so little air pollution that people's lungs were much healthier. Nowadays, you've never smoked a cigarette in your life, you're absorbing a tremendous amount of pollutants from the air. Now it's a little better, but when I was growing up, I mean, you know, the smog issue and, the cities, the haze over the city, it's better now. So now the lungs are impaired to the point that the impact of smoking a cigarette is much more significant. See, he felt that the Pshat Observer was, not the Observer, the Pnei Yeshua was, that the lungs were so healthy that the damage was so minimal, but the benefit of helping digestion was very significant. And it is. It simulates digestion. So it's considered a tzarech abrius, and therefore since it's a tzarech abrius, it's mutter. Pasha is that swear doesn't apply anymore.
That's the only swear that you had to smoke.
That's the Pnei Shuvah's Hesper Dima Hesper. It says only me and people smoke. It's not Shabbat Chol Nefesh, but the tzara that they're addressing is a common tzara. Anyway, I don't want to talk about smoking anymore.
According to this,
getting back to this, so I would assume that that mouthwash is the same problem. Right.
Seltzer.
I'm assuming that seltzer, you know, it's not really a real flavor. It's just water. Okay. What about one thing over here in regards to the at the end of Hallel, the Nusach of the Bracha. Okay, so the Haggadahs are very confused. Each Haggadah has like a different minute, you know. You have five people with Haggadah, you know, but the Sadis are a different minute. What do you say? Whether you say Halucha, whether you, right after Hallel, you say Halucha all the way at the end, whether you say that the Chesim of Yishtabach, what do you do, right? So the Shulchan Aruch sheet is, right, you finish Hallel Mitzrayim, you do not say the Perek of Halucha at all. You right away go into the Har Lashem Kitoyim Kilom Chastoy, Har Lakeh Lakim Kilom Chastoy, the Lakeh Elohim Kilom Chastoy, and right away you go to Hallel Gadol, it's called. Then you say Nishmas till Me'alom Adilom Atokel. Then you say the paragraph of Yehal Lucha, and your Chosim Melech Mulah Batish Mechosim. So the Chasim ends up being the regular Chasim that you say on Hallel. But you don't say it right after Hallel. You say it all the way at the end. But you don't say two chasimas. You don't make two brachas on the Hallel. So you don't do the chasima of Yishtabach. You say Hallel all the way through till the last point, and then you can stop. Right? You say the paragraph of Yishtabach till the bracha. Then you say Yehalelucha, and you say Melech Mulah Batish Mechos. That's the chasita of the Shulchan Aruch. Then the Mishnah Berurah Shita is that right after Hallel you say the paragraph of Yehalelucha, but you don't say the Chasima. Then you say Nishmas. Then you say all the way till the paragraph of Yishtabach, and then your Chosim with the Chasima of every Hallel. Baruch Atah Hashem. So you finish off Yishtabach, Shimchol, Malkeinu, right? That's the sheet of Mishabur. The Gros says your choice in the regular chasim of Tel Melech Adol Batish Bachos, Tel Hedois, Adonai Flois, right? The regular chasim of Yishtab. So according to the Gros and the Mishabur, you say the paragraph of Yehalelucha at the end of Hallel, before Hallel Gadol. You do not do a chasim there. And you then say Birchas Ashir. You always chosim at the end of the Hallel Melech Mulah Batish Bachos. According to the you're chosim like you always chosim Yishtabach. According to the Mechaber, you say the whole paragraph Yehalelucha with the chasim Melech Mulah Batish Bachos at the end. Those are three sheeters. And the Mishabura brings that there is a sheet of he mentions the sheet of the Gra. One thing which is Negeya, if a person was chosim after Hallel, see, he found the Mishabura, he says, yeah, the paragraph Yehalelucha. Right at the end of Hallel, and he forgot himself. He says, right. He says the whole paragraph, and then he says, "Now what?" So you're not kaisim at the end of Rifas Ashir, because you're kaisim at the end of Hallel. So then you end up you say Hallel Gadol, Nishmas, but you won't be kaisim at the end. Last point over here. The fourth kai is the person has to make sure that they drink a full shear of that which is chai of Baruch HaKorino. You can't just drink all the lugma. You have to drink a full shear because you want to be able to say Baruch HaKorino. And you say Baruch HaKorino. And again, you should drink it Baseva. Have in mind to be chai of the last one of the dalakosis. Drink it Baseva. And the person will then say the Baruch HaKorino of Alagif.